Come on, let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful again that, Lord, you have given us this opportunity to move closer, to draw nearer, that we might be more apt at hearing what you are saying to the church. Realizing, God, that your conversation is not with the building church, but with the bodies that make up the church. For, Lord, what gain is there in speaking to bricks and mortar, carpets and pews? But, Lord, the benefit that is rendered to the listening ear, the listening heart, as your words fall fresh, not only on us, but in us. For, Lord, we have become witnesses, and surely we have been with the Lord. God, when you speak to us, we are excited, stirred, moved, like no other thing that happens in our life. God, what you bring is priceless. And what we can become is untold. In fact, Lord, the word requires that we understand that the eye hath not seen and the ear has not heard. Because, Lord, when you pour promise into us, potential meets with performance, and performance brings you praise. That's why the writer declared, I can do all things through Christ strengthens me. Your word transitions us from being weak, feeble, and victimized, that we become strong and mighty, even to be the conqueror. Victory is in Christ Jesus. And so now, Lord, we pray that again you would speak to us. Sons and our daughters, our husbands, our wives, our friends, and even the stranger. Let your words fall in this place. God, move on us in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would just use me one more time. Let me stand here, Lord, not being made the fool, but God, that you would use me. For of my own, I am nothing. God, with you, all things are sure. So, Lord, use your servant. Let these words that we shared in private become ministry tools publicly. And God, we'll remember to give you the praise, the glory, the honor. God, we'll shout ourselves happy just telling you thank you. And now, God, please again forgive us of our sins. Have mercy, Jesus. This is our prayer. The redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, give God some praise. Put your hands together. Come on and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. If you would turn on your smart devices, your tablets, your phones, your readers, those of us who still carry a Bible, if you just grab your Bible, just very quickly. I believe there's a commercial that used to come over the airways. I believe it was really a cigarette commercial, but the slogan said, "You've come a long way, baby." And we have in the church, we have smartphones and tablets and stuff like that. And we, those of us who still carry paper Bibles are tremendously outweighed by those who are technologically savvy. And those of us who still carry paper Bibles, it's probably not because we want them. We just can't afford one of them things y'all got. So we're going to keep our Bible. Amen. The Lord will deliver. So in Philippians chapter 1, it's a very familiar text. Brother Michael, we've been doing a series on getting better. And so this is part of that getting better mentality today. Philippians chapter 1, if you will. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. I don't have a lot of time to bother y'all today, so if y'all going to help me, you're going to have to help me right at the start. Because Deacon David's going to leave all us. Amen. I'm driving my truck today. So I don't care. I get there when I get there. The choir can hold it down till I get there. Amen. But y'all can't be late. Philippians chapter 1. And I really want to, the setup, if you will, the structure of the preaching comes really beginning at verse 3. But I just want to lift up the verse I want to build off of. All of it is going to be beneficial. In fact, I really would like to preach about from verse 3 all the way over to verse 11. But I'm going to, you know, I'm going to condense this. I'm going to make it work for us. Amen. But verse 6 comes to mind. Verse 6 stands out and he says, "I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Amen. God bless you. Do me a favor before you sit down, and I want to share the topic of the sermon with you. We're easing away from really worrying about that, but Brother Chris said I needed to give that to him so they could put it on the board. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, pastor's going to preach the next thing. Starts now." Amen. The next thing starts now. Ushers, God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so very much to all of you. God bless you. We don't want to trouble your patience too long today. I want to tell you something that I think is critically important at the onset of our conversation together. And that is that we've got to learn in the body of Christ to quit being procrastinators. The art of procrastination has become rather profound and consistent, not only in the church, but people do it everywhere. You know, people ask for extensions. In fact, if you are one of those persons who did not file your income tax by the 15th, there's a form you can request from the Internal Revenue Service that will give you an extension of several months. There are those of us who work on our jobs, and we are project managers or part of a particular project, and if we don't get the suspense date done properly, we ask for an extension. It's procrastination is what it really is. In fact, we tend to put on hold on the back burner that language. It gives us away. There are things that we would rather delay than to deal with. And I think that what Paul is saying to the church at Philippi bears much relevance to us in the modern day church, because we tend to suggest to ourselves by our own deliberateness that there is no true assignment for us because we don't have a particular title in the church. And Paul said that's just not true. What he's saying to us is that all of you have been blessed, gifted, anointed, called to service by God, and that God knows exactly what he's doing in your life. Let me, I've got to hurry. Paul says that in the King James Version, if you will, The NIV version reads a little bit differently, but there's one word, Dr. Dixon, that he uses that I want to build off of, and he says that be confident of this. You know, where I come from in the South, there used to be a saying that says, I know that's right. And what Paul is saying is, I know that's right, that God has started something and he gonna finish it. Amen. And here's what he said. He started it in you. No, hunt your neighbor. Just tell him, no, we're going to sleep now. It's on and popping, because Paul says that you've got to be very confident of this very thing. And he points to them and points to the world and says, all of this is yours. Every corner, every hamlet, every town, every covetousness, every place God can use you. You don't have to wait till you join the right church. You don't have to wait till the right man comes along. You don't have to wait till you get the right job. You don't have to wait till you get the right amount of money. Paul says God started something. And your next starts right now. Whole lot of us are sitting around. I tell you, ain't going to take me too long. Whole lot of us sitting around talking about when my ship come in and when this happens and when that happens. But can I tell you, there's so much happening right now. Amen. Some of us are guilty of not recognizing the forest for the trees. We're sitting around in a status of doing nothing and complaining that nothing's getting done when God is always doing something. God is always busy. God is always, as the Star Trek Adventures was saying, boldly going where no man has gone before. Why? Because he's God. And because he's God and he's your Father and he loves you and he's your sovereign, God has not cheated one of us. Paul says, be confident that God has started something. And he says, it does not finish because you get tired. It does not finish because you get frustrated. It does not finish because they forget to call your name. It does not finish because you're old. It does not finish till Jesus comes. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, till Jesus comes. Yeah, you cannot stand up and testify that you gone many miles and you just want to rest and I'm going to step aside and let the young folk take over. Young folk don't want to take over. You know, I've been in the choir a long time. Remember, I'm going to let some of these other folks sing. Are you serious? I've been a Sunday school teacher, Reverend, for 39 years. I'm just going to sit back now. No, Jesus ain't come yet. Amen. In fact, we're going to start using that, Dr. Corbett. Whenever folk try to step back on us or get lazy, we're going to look at them and tell them, Jesus ain't come yet. So you are Philippians 1:6 disciple. You don't get out the choir because you mad they wouldn't let you sing your song. Jesus ain't come yet. And when Jesus come, you better be up there hooting, hollering to the God's glory. Paul says you got to be confident. Here, let me help here along through. He said, let me see if I can help you, Philippians, because you Philippians are new in this thing. This is the first letter to the church at Philippi. This is something new. He said, let me see if I can help you. You do know that you're not here for nothing. Too many of y'all sit around with your arms folded, sucking your teeth and playing in your hair. Come on, I just go. I ain't doing it. You ain't here for nothing. Sitting around here occupying space, sucking up good air, and don't want to do nothing. All of us are on assignments. Paul said, let me help y'all get started right, because if we're going to get this thing right, we're going to have to start it right. He said, You need to know that your next starts now. Man. Question I need to ask the Brookville Church, if I were to write this letter, probably have to ask you, what's your thing? What's your thing? You know, because unless you kind of know what you want to do, we can't help you. You know, why are you here? Why are you, you know, I spoke with one of our guests today, and she was honest. She said, well, I was on my way somewhere else, but I know how to get to Brookville. So I came on by. That's good. See, that's good. That's good preaching right along through there. I can use that as a sermon. But my point is, those of you who are part of our discipleship ministry, can you answer that question? What's your thing? Why are you here? You can't just be coming for the ambiance. What's your thing? What has God started in you? Because the letter says he started in you. That's everybody.
Amen. I didn't see nobody's name here. I didn't see Paul write anybody's name. I didn't see an exception. I didn't see him say some folk, not everybody. But he said, I'm certain that God began a good work within you. That's everybody. Michael Jackson comes to mind. When he simply says, you want to be starting something. Okay. Y'all missed that. You can't try to convince me that God has just left you out. You can't convince me that. You cannot convince me that your contribution to the ministry is so minuscule that God says you just a write-off. Oh, you too important for that. Listen, you're still alive because there's still some work to be done. Amen. And if I were you, I would encourage God to keep me alive so I can keep on working. Lord, don't let me go out like this. I still got work to do. And so Paul says to the church, he says, well, let's discover what our thing is. And then the other thing I guess we need to ask you is, can we identify a good work in you? You know, we sang that old song, and I said some years ago, Audrey, you remember, you've been here a long time, and some folk got mad at me, Dr. Dixon, when I said this. I said, you know, I don't think too many folk in our church ought to leave their family instructions to sing when they die, let the works I done speak for me. Because some folk ain't done nothing. And I said that if you died, and you remember this, Lewis, I said, if you were one of those people that died in our ministry, and when I get the program, and it says, hymn selection, may the works I've done, I'm going to line it out. And tell the choir, no, don't sing that one. Because we don't want to lie to the Lord on the last day. May the works I've done speak for me. No, no, what is the good work within you? Look at your name. Just stare at them for a minute. And put your hands on your hip and let your backbone slip. Just look and ask. Don't say it, but ask with your eyes. What is your good work? Mm-hmm. Some of y'all done gone to right long through that. Paul says, I'm coming. Paul says, you do know that's how God works. Let me say this to you very quickly, as he speaks to them, that every one of us have four particulars that are always operating within us. And I need you to understand, all of us have a guarantee that God's going to keep his word. All of us know that his word is guarded by his integrity. All of us know that his word is grace unto us. And finally, it should get him some glory. Yeah, okay, y'all slow. That would have been good preaching right there. I could have set my points up right there, got me a holler and going about my business, but I got something deeper than that. I feel my help already. Paul says, thank you, coach. Paul says, you know, when the coach say preach, you got to get it in. Paul says that these things are absolutes of God. Sure promises, he calls them, and I want to tell you now, that all of us ought to thank God and shout a little bit every now and then that he affords us an opportunity to get it right. Amen. God allows our golden moments to roll on. That's what grandmama used to say. But what God is doing in us now is so necessary for the next thing. Let me see if I can help you along through here. You can't come out your mama's womb and be a college major. Your kindergarten helped you in the first grade, and your first grade helped you in the second grade, and your third grade helped you in the fourth grade, and so on and so on. And some of us are missing out now, looking at our necks with an attitude of nothingness. Paul said these are sure promises of God, and what God does just that is so wonderful. Every now and then he allows us a glimpse of greater glory. How many of y'all ever had that dream where you had it going on? You dreamed that you were the CEO and the CBO and you were the big dog. Nobody ever dreams of being the janitor or nothing like that. We dream big, amen? That Gatorade commercial back in the day with Michael Jordan said, and when I dream I am he and he is me. All of us dream of making the winning shot. All of us dream of coming up with the right answer. All of us dream like that. And that's how we move into our next category. But listen, let me tell you something. That's why the Bible reminds us to never stop dreaming. You remember Joseph. Joseph had dreams, but let me tell you something about dreams. Be careful who you share your dreams with. Be careful that you don't give folk too much inside information. But I thank God every day of my life that he allows me glimpses of greater glory. I thank God I see myself some kind of different. And so Paul said, please understand that our hope is stirred by potential and stabilized by promise. Well, that's good preaching right there. Our hope is stirred by potential. In other words, sometimes just because we believe it can happen, we keep on pressing on. But then it's stabilized by promise because God said, I told you so. How many of you had God look at you and say, I told you so? Yeah, your mom and daddy doubted you. Your friends laughed at you. But oh, if they could see me now. That little gang of mine, I'm stepping high in God's cotton field because God made me a promise. Slap your neighbor and tell him I'm living on promise. Yeah, I know I ain't got everything right now, but promise will do in this season. Paul says, I understand. He said, your next starts right now. Some of us came to church this morning with low expectations. Figure we just going by, it's Sunday. I might as well go on up to the house of the Lord. Low expectation. Didn't think nothing was going to happen. You didn't bring nothing in. And you ain't going to carry nothing out. You came in here sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And ain't going to get in the car and talking about, I don't know, I ain't getting nothing. You buckethead, what you thought you was going to get when you didn't bring nothing? You want to siphon off of everybody else and then complain about the siphoning process. Our hope is stirred by potential. I just believe the Lord. We know a song we said, whose report are we going to believe? We believe the report of the Lord. Stirred. And Paul said, listen, please understand, your next is right now. Sitting right here tonight. When I grow up. You 60. When I get, how you going to get somewhere and you ain't going nowhere? You've been standing right there for now on 22 years. When I get to, you can't get nowhere if you ain't going nowhere. You got traffic blocked 6 lanes wide. Paul said, please understand that the suggestion, Sandra, are most beneficial, watch this now, to the blessed state of the church and its discipleship. Here it is again. The blessed benefits. The suggestion of these benefits will bless the church and its discipleship. Because if in fact, and I know it to be so, we have levels of confidence, and we do. Some of us got it going on when it comes to confidence. Even when it's false bravado. You ever met people who are so confident and ain't doing nothing? I mean, you look at him, you go, man, that joke. And you have to say, man, you got to give it to him. He was confident. I mean, he fell and crashed and burned, but he thought he was going to make it. You know, you stand on the roof of the building, I don't jump to the other building. Okay. You do know that's 30 feet, right? A running start would have helped you, but go ahead. You have, watch this now. Here's what God's saying. God is saying, Paul helps us understand that your confidence must not be in the flesh. But our confidence must be in the Lord. All right, some of y'all missed that. Listen, I can talk all day about what I can do. But the Bible says apart from him, I can't do nothing. Oh, that's good preaching right along through there. Somebody should have waved and said, you go ahead with that, Reverend. Paul said, listen, don't get enamored with yourself. Because you're going to need the Lord. And Paul says, our confidence must rest solely in Christ Jesus. I know some of you want to thank your Uncle Joe and Aunt Betty, and you want to tell Mama them I sure appreciate it. But Mama them didn't do nothing without the Lord. Mama, listen, I know Mama stayed up all night and sewed your little britches and helped you get your socks together and all that kind of stuff. But Mama needed the Lord. What you did not see is while Mama was in the room on her knees, crying out to the Lord, that's how you really made it. You were off in college hanging out down at the spot when Mama was down on her knees talking to the Lord. You were out thinking you smarter than everybody else, but Mama was having a little talk with Jesus, saying, Lord, protect that crazy child of mine. I don't know where he or she is tonight, but God, I put him in your hand. That's why the man didn't get you. Because God put a hedge around about. Some of y'all know you should have been locked up a long time ago. Your record should be 7 pages long, but somehow God showed you a way of escape because Mama was praying for you. Grandmama was down at that little old raggedy church that you didn't think was good enough for you no more when you came home from college and university. I ain't going down that little raggedy church. But it's them little Negroes down at that little raggedy church that were lifting up your name because they had confidence in God. They were singing songs like the Lord will make a way somehow, and they had you on their mind. My confidence is in Christ. He said, please understand that I can do all things. Amen. Nudge your neighbor and say, I feel that one. I can do all things through Christ. See, sometimes we get it wrong. We leave off the most important part. It is through Christ. His point, you can't go through Christ if you don't know Christ. You can't. Second thing Paul is saying, at the confidence, he said, you can't be casual because this is too important. Can't be casual. You know, we want to come to church when we want something. Get in the prayer line and ask God to give us stuff. And then we leave him till we need to come back again. Like we're doing a refresher course. I better get on back down there. They didn't lay me off. Need another job now. Paul says it's through Christ. He said, you can do anything. Now, here's the match. Because God has begun a work and you can do all things, what's your problem? How can there be a disconnect with such a wonderful discourse? The doctrine is pure. Paul says, you can do this. Look at your name and say, I got this. This bud's for you. Oh, no, that's different. This is on me. He says, I got this. Everybody in the church, Tamika, ought to have that testimony of confidence. Oh, I got this. When we say, I heard Sister McKenzie ask us about, you know, doing a little something for the cancer. I got this. Listen, when they give it to me, this is on. Amen. You know, there are some of us who have that attitude that when they put it on our desk, it's a done deal. Amen. Some of us got that kind of attitude. Miss Charlie called us in the office and said, listen, I need to do that. Oh, I got this. This covered. Anything else? You know, some of us have the reputation for being get it done people. They say, look, get started up here. This is a critical project. We need a go-getter. How many of y'all are go-getters? Okay, that's 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, see, because listen, you have a reputation for getting results. Let me help you along through here. How dare you on your job and in your house and around your friends have a reputation for being one who gets results, and yet in the church, you won't lend yourself to nothing. You ought to be ashamed of your gift itself. Oh, on your job, you've been employee of the month 6 months running. You have been the star pupil in the university, but yet when you come to your church, we don't even know your name. We can't get you to sign up for the Christian Jubilee, but anytime there's a difficult assignment, you sitting on the boss's desk saying, oh, I got this. Well, look at your name and said, when you gonna get this? Paul said, please understand that God started something. Then he says, second thing is, and we heard along, he said, it must be of the confidence that you have in Christ. It must not be casual. But then he said this, you must not wait till it's convenient. Let me see if I can go along through here, Deacon Davis. The Bible said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. But Pastor, you know, I can't do it right now, but, you know, maybe a little late. It must not be convenient. I would suggest to you very strongly, brothers and sisters, that God should always be able to inconvenience your life. You thought it convenient for Christ to go to Calvary? That's most inconvenient. How can you ask God to sacrifice, but you won't sacrifice? It must not be convenient. The laborers shouldn't be so few, and they shouldn't be hard to find. There are some folk, when hard work comes, you can't find them. You got people like that on your job. How many of you have people on your job that when hard stuff comes, you be like, where's? You know, some people have that I can see it coming mentality. You ever have people like that, you know, when hard, they don't come in that day or something like that, you know. And it is embarrassing for me to have to preach long through here to say this, but there are a whole lot of folk that have absenteeism when it comes to the church. You know, when we get to the hard part, we're doing the hard part about trying to get the building straight and trying to get this done. And then on the day when we do the marching in, they're at the front of the line. We done did all this hard stuff around here. And then when we got the big parade, then you go stand there with your gazoo and your whistler and everything. Tell, we did it. We what? Shouldn't be convenient. And you shouldn't serve God based on whether or not you want to or you like it. Listen, I told you, some people, sis, yeah, I know you from Greensboro. Y'all don't have this trouble in North Carolina churches. But in Virginia churches, people like to vote on stuff. Talking about all those in favor. I don't believe no voting. Pastor put the rule down. We ought to get on board. So some folk don't like me because they say, and he don't let us have no voice. Shut up. Some people talk too much. Let me do all the talking. You know, it shouldn't be convenient. Here we go. No. Listen, you think Calvary was convenient? You think God giving his only son was convenient? God saw the world in trouble. Sent his only son to save us. It shouldn't be so hard to get nothing done around the church. All of us ought to be willing workers. You know, when I grew up in the South, Brother Mike, they had a little club in the church called the Willing Workers. Well, never know a whole lot of people in there. Same old ladies with brittle fingers and hunched over backs and hat nets on, doing all the work in the church. Them ladies did the communion and cleaned up after the church and picked up paper and all that kind of, and everybody else thought, y'all doing a fine job. Keep up the good work, Sister Sadie. Pull Sister Sadie on a walker with a ventilator. And she still got to unlock the church because the deacons, I can't be getting up that early in the morning. You go to your job at 5:30 every morning. Shouldn't be convenient. Then he says, I'll hurry along. Then he says, Sandra, he said that in order for the work to begin and your next to start now and to keep it going, you got to be cooperative. You got to be cooperative. Here's a verse in scripture. We like this one. Eric, the verse says, and they were all together on one accord. We ain't seen nothing like that around here in a long time. Dr. Corbett, I know your church is in another county, but I'm sure y'all got the same problem. Ain't no such thing as all together on one accord. You got half of the church want to do this. A third of the church want to do that. Another third don't care what the heck none of y'all do. I'll be cooperative. There ought to be a spirit of unity. Look how y'all looking at me like, Reverend, you've been smoking. Yeah, well, that's the word of God. The greatest movement of the church should not have happened one time only. We ain't saw that verse in the Bible no more. And they were all together on one accord. Choir rehearsal would go better. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If we were all on one accord. Yes, sir. The usher ministry would perform smoothly. On one accord. I just believe that preaching will go better. Yes, yes. On one accord. the offering, the tithe, all of that stuff would look a whole lot better on one accord. Should be cooperative. We should have a spirit of cooperation. Sitting around throwing rocks and hiding your hand. Saying amen in the church, but oh, there's Miss Davis right there. Hey, Miss Davis. But when you get out there among your friends, I didn't vote for it. I didn't agree in the first place. Oh, should be cooperative. Why? Because when we work together, God is pleased. Bible said that he looks at us and said, it's good to see my children getting along so very well. Understand, beloved God, that you nobody really wants to see you acting out and being contrary all the time. I mean, if you've got a good point, make your good point, but make it in a way to make us better. And Paul says, please understand, as we wind around the corner here, he says, please understand that the unity of the saints causes us to think on these things. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things are noble. He said, when we are in a cooperative spirit, we are better suited for each other. God bless us long through here. For those of you who are married, let me see if I can get y'all to help me long through here. You don't want to be in a marriage where y'all don't agree on nothing. But thank you. He says, "Ooh, Father." He says, "You all need to understand that when we work like this, it's going to help all of us." And so he said that we must understand that our confidence rests in Christ. We can ill afford to be casual about the matter, and then we must understand how necessary it is for us to not look for the convenient time. One of the reasons, in addition, he said, because no man knows the day nor the hour that the Lord will return, and a whole lot of us have fooled ourselves into thinking that our youth should be wasted on our own agenda. You know, that we've got plenty of time to serve God, and I'm going to sow my wild oats, whatever that means. I don't eat oats myself, except oatmeal. But the fact of the matter is, he reminds us that you can't just sit around waiting for an opportune time based on your willingness to be opportune. And then he says, you do understand that we're losing daylight, and because night is coming, and none of us will be able to work at night. And not in the sense of shift work like third and such, but he says, please understand that you and I are going to be better suited in the body of Christ working as a body. That's why he reminds us. He said, listen, the hand is no greater than the elbow, and the elbow no greater than the shoulder. And so he says, please understand that we've got to form a union. We've got to come together so that our next starts right now. He said, please understand that if you had known when your trouble was coming, you would have made different provisions. And so he reminds the church now in their early existence, and I would suggest to you, brothers and sisters, beloved of God, that if somebody had been honest with us when we first gave our lives to Christ, our whole journey would have been some kind of different. But see, they wasted a whole lot of their time and our time telling us that we could take our time. But no, we don't have no time to take. We've got to give God everything we got right now. In other words, we got to learn how to always put our best foot forward. In fact, I believe some of y'all can wave back at me and tell me you wasted too much time. You sit around with a whole lot of people who were doing nothing, and they convinced you and coerced you into doing nothing as well. Some of us have been told by folk, you work too hard and you give too much and you too available, but you making us look bad. But the fact
of the matter is, what I'm doing is not about making you look bad, but about making God look good. What I'm really doing is not trying to get your attention, but I'm trying to get him some glory. And that's why I don't mind giving like I give and serving like I serve, because what I'm really trying to do is keep my eyes on the prize. In fact, the Bible says, once you put your hands to the plow, you can't afford to look back. So tell your neighbors, excuse me, but I'm not going to be singing your song. I'm not going to be patting you on the back. I'm not trying to get your approval, but what I'm trying to do is serve the Lord with my whole heart. I'm trying to lift up and magnify the name of Jesus. I'm trying to get him a far greater glory, because I'm so thankful that the Lord has been good to me. I'm so thankful that he woke me up this morning and started me on my way. I'm so thankful that he looked beyond my faults to meet my every need. I'm so thankful that God made a way somehow. I'm so thankful that he sent his only begotten son, and they stretched him wide. They put nails in his hand. They put a crown on his head. And I'm so thankful that he hung, bled, and died. I'm so thankful that he stayed right there. I'm so thankful that early one Sunday morning, he didn't stay there. I'm so thankful that he trusted in his Father and he climbed up out of that grave. I'm so thankful that because he lives, I can face my tomorrows. I'm so thankful that my next start now. I'm not gonna wait for another move. I'm not gonna wait for another hand laying. I'm not gonna wait for somebody's approval, but I'm gonna trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm gonna trust him when the mountains get high. I'm gonna trust him when the valley gets low. I'm gonna trust him when I got it. I'm gonna trust him when I don't got it. But I will say thank you, Lord, through all of my trials, all my tribulations. Thank you, Lord. My next start now. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, excuse me, but I've got to get busy. I've got to press my way. I've got to work while I've got the light of day. No man knows the day nor the hour, but I want to be ready. Anybody want to be ready? Anybody want to be ready? Say yeah. Say yeah. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Do you want to be ready? Wave your hand. Lift your voice. Say ready, ready, ready. Ready, ready, ready. Ready, ready, ready. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. My next starts right now. Sitting around making excuses when we ought to seize the opportunity. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't usually show my gifts, but I'm going to speak a little Latin to you. Carpe diem. Seize the day. That's what I'm telling you. Take advantage of right now. You're too gifted. Too gifted. You got everything you need. I hear you. Some of you are saying, but Pastor Isaiah said, they that wait on the Lord. No, too much waiting going on. I'm going to change it a little bit. Sister Dee Dee, I'm going to say, they that now in the Lord shall renew. And don't y'all get mad at me. I didn't try to read right. I just did a little addendum there. Because this is our now. Man, some of you are so talented, so gifted, so anointed. Sitting around waiting to join the right church and waiting on the right pastor and the right ministry. You right. It's your turn. I like movies. Dr. Corbett, y'all know I do movies. Movie Hoodlum. with Larry Fishburne when he was Larry. He'd have been Lawrence, Larry. He been everything but Leroy. He'll get around to that. But there's a line in the movie Hoodlum where Whispers leans over and tells Bumpy Johnson, "It's your turn now." Madam Queen is in jail. Dutch Schultz acting a fool. Lucky Luciano, you know. And Bumpy pulls his little coat together. Whispers looks at him. Says, "It's your turn now." "Well, you is all now, Bumpy Johnson. I's Whispers. And I'm telling each and every one of you, it's your turn now. You want a greater church? It's your turn now. You want a greater ministry in your church? It's your turn now. You want the choir to be better? It's your turn now. You want finance to increase? You want to see the parking lot fixed? Your turn now. You want to see the roof? You want us to get a new church? Get off the corner of Winston Ridge and Florida Avenue? It's your turn now. You want to see our children's ministry stronger and more spiritual? It's your turn now. You want to see the food ministry and the clothing ministry grow? It's your turn now. You want to preach? It's my turn now." So sorry. No vacancies. I'm sorry. Hear me well. We're going to go home. Just stand with me together. We're going to go. Stand up. So, three things. Let me slide this because I wanted to make sure I said this to you. There are four equipping, four things that are critical. I didn't get down that far because one is you've been emancipated for expansion. See, God didn't save you to do nothing. So your emancipation was not just about being set free, but you were set free to expand. That's where the "go ye therefore" comes in. Secondly, you've been given the energy necessary through equipping. Okay. Let me tell you something. If this one die, everybody on the sound ministry better run. Just telling y'all back there, y'all better get that door and be gone. See, okay, you got the energy. The third thing that's critical to understand is okay, emancipation, energy, equipping. Yeah, equipping was the third piece that goes with the second. See, you can't sit around saying, "I don't got nothing." Because that would make God a liar. The text in the Ephesian letter says, "You are the workmanship of God." The text that Peter writes says, "You have been thoroughly equipped." Thoroughly equipped means you got it all. Let me see if I can take some of y'all back. You remember when cars had roll-up windows? It was an option to get power windows. You remember when cars had cruise control, or you had to keep your foot on the gas all the time? Well, now most cars come thoroughly equipped. Most of them, you can't buy it without certain stuff already in it. Cruise control, air conditioning. Remember when cars didn't have air conditioning? Remember when cars had that 240 air conditioning? Two windows down at 40 miles an hour? That's 240 air. But now every car got air conditioning. Even the little cheap versions got air conditioning in it. Not that y'all live by the cheap versions. Y'all highfalutin. But you've been thoroughly equipped. Then he says this. Then he said, this is the critical part of it. He says that there is an expectation that you perform. After all God gave you, how you going to look at him and say, "I ain't got nothing"? Can I give you the story? In the story of the talents, each one got based on their ability. And when he came back, he didn't ask the one with three or five to give him no more than what he gave based on their expectation to perform. Some of you are not going to be way up yonder in ministry services. But where you are, there's an expectation that you perform. Nobody got cheated. The Bible says what? He gave gifts to men. Everybody got something. Nudge your neighbor and say, I got something. Amen. And I don't have to have what you have. I was going to say, I don't have to have what you got, but Miss Scott gave me the warning, look, don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you, Pastor, you show them folk that you got education, that you did your three R's, reading, writing, and relaxing. Oh, sorry. I don't have to have what she has. I don't have what you have. I enjoy what you have. I enjoy your gifts. You have tremendous gifts. I enjoy your gifts and your gift. He has a gift I don't have. But all of us together make the house a better house. See? And see, when you get to the place that you understand, you were set free for a reason. Emancipation had some expectation attached to it. Your energies have expectation. Your equipping has expectation. You have that thing. That thing. You got it. Look at your name and say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, y'all did it like I knew you would. Yes, sir. You got it. Your next starts right now. Stop sitting around talking about, well, when we get the next church, or when we get so-and-so in the choir, when we get this, when they finally put batteries in the mic. You can't keep waiting on it. You just got to keep going. Whatever adjustments you have to make. Y'all saw how I made adjustment after adjustment after adjustment, and I'm going to make some other adjustments. But your next is now. Pat, Jess, Mike, Dalton, your next. Eric, your next is right now. You can't wait till you get everything else straight. You know how long it's going to take us to get everything straight? Some of us are going to leave here in the funeral parlor with stuff not straight. How many of you ever had to take over business for your family and go, Lord, I didn't know they had all this mess going on. Folk die and leave us working like slaves. Now we got to go pay their bills and make arrangements. We didn't realize they had other kids cross town. They showing up. We got to get another limousine, all kind of crazy stuff. You can't wait till everything's straight. We got to go now. Got to go now. Bob said we got to work while we got the light of day, because darkness is coming. And now we got to go because Jerusalem is waiting. While you're standing, let me make this appeal. We talked about this in Christian Academy this morning. Paul says, I appeal to you. I'm asking you. And one version says, I beg of you. But you got to make a decision about Christ. I'm not asking you to make a decision about me, because I'm not it. I can't save you. I love people. I love the church. I love what I do. But I can't save you. And I'm not asking you to make a decision about joining Greater Brookville Church, because you're going to have to go back to Carolina where you work at. And you keep your job. Don't lose your job trying to hang out with us. Come back anytime you want to, but go to work Monday through Friday. Come up Saturday, spend the night, come to church. You know, y'all got to go back to D.C. in the district where crazy things happen all the time. But come back anytime. We need you to work. Come on back. Go on back. Your next is right now. Okay. And so, and for God's sake, we're not going to let him drive, because he can't last 30 minutes behind the wheel or nothing. And so what I'm saying is, make a decision. I got to go. Make a decision about Christ. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, do not join nobody's church. I know that sounds crazy from a pastor, but it's true. Don't be joining nobody's church and you ain't got Jesus. You making us unequally yoked. You bringing in something that does not fit here. Just like Sesame Street, one of these things just doesn't belong here. Can you guess which one? It's the unsaved Scathian that keeps sitting in our pews. So give your life to Christ first. That old song grandma sang so well before her voice got bad. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. So if you've not given your life to Christ today, that's what I want you to do. I don't want you to Don't worry about joining GBC yet. Don't worry about that. You give your life to Christ. We put you in new disciple training. We check you out, do the background check. No, we don't do the background check. We get everything in and we'll say, okay, you know what? You need to make up your mind about your church. If this microphone dies, you need to give your life to Christ first. So I'm asking you today, if you're here, young man, young woman, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, because there's some old saints need to make a decision too. Don't let these old saints fool you. Anything in the church ain't saved. I ain't trying to start no trouble. I'm just saying, don't miss your moment. So if you're here today and you've not given your life to Christ, I want you to make a decision about Christ. Don't worry about us. Make your decision about Christ. If you'll come. What happened to the music? What is going on? Your next is now. I thought that died. I often said that the organ died. We really got a problem. Everything breaking. So if you've made a decision, do that today before you go. You know, you can see we have fun around here, and that's fine. I don't mind. God's not going to get mad at us because we laugh. But if you have not made a decision, second thing, if you've made that decision, I understand, I appreciate you. Be honest, but if you made that decision and you need to re-energize your moment so that your next is your now, you want God to use you, and you really want to give God the glory, and you say, Lord, I really haven't done all I should have been doing, so I'm going to step up my game a little bit. God, I heard the preacher say that I need my confidence levels. I need to be a bit more cooperative. I need to stop being casual. I don't want to just be a church goer. I want to be a church doer. I want my church to need me. You know, I want them to look around and say, where's so-and-so? We can't stop without him, without her. They're vital to the ministry. Amen. So if you want to just say, God, I'm going to step it up a little bit. I want to pray with you today. I want to encourage you through the shaking of your hand, put my arms around you and say, I'm with you, man. I'm praying for you that you'll do better. I've been asking God to make me better because I want to be better. I want to be the guy. You know, I want to be the one that when you walk into the room, you change the room. They be like, oh, pastor here now. Let's go. We good now. Amen. 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 So if you want to be into your now next, now, I want to pray with you today. I want to join hands with you, touch and agree with you that you can be next level right now. If you believe that today. You know, last week we did some things like that. We said we were going to make these pledges to God that we were going to be better because we know we're better. And we had it better than we were showing it. And so we really want to go next level with God today. It's just by prayer. You don't have to come say a whole lot. God bless you. Sister Ada, God bless you. Amen. And if you don't feel like walking, let's see if we can help you. Just let me see your hands if you just want to go next level with God. Thank you. There we go. That's what I thought was going to happen. Thank you. Don't be scared to put them up now because you shame before men, you're going to miss out. Okay, there you go. Okay, now, last thing. I got you. I got everybody ready. Rest off your feet for a minute. Said, rest of them and walk. You and walk by yourself. No, I ain't say y'all sit down. I said her. Y'all didn't earn no sit down yet. Last thing. We going to go. Last thing. If you are looking for a church home, if you really want to find a church home, our doors are open to you today. You don't have to wait about this one. You can be a part of our family right now forever. I really believe that every one of you are the next difference maker. Even if you're just swinging through, you're going to carry something of the essence of Brookville somewhere for the rest of your life. So if you're here today and you don't have a church home and you say, you know what, I kind of like you around here today, that preacher and the choir, you know, but I heard Jesus. That man was talking about Jesus, and I can work with that. You know, we won't waste our time talking about nothing else. We're going to stay on Jesus. So if you're looking for a church home, our doors are open to you today. You want to come and be a part of our family. If you need to think about it, that's cool too. But don't think about it sitting home next Sunday. Think about it coming back and sit somewhere different. Maybe the right side of the church was not conducive to your decision making. Sit on the left side next time. Come on back and hang out with us. Last thing we're going to do is this. We're going to ask everybody to humble themselves that we might pray. God bless you today, our guests. Thank you, friends, Mike, family. Good to see them. Strong names, Simeon, Solomon. Boy, them good names. I like that. When you name your kids like that, you put it on them. They got to come on up, you know. You can't name your kids Strong and they wind up being deadbeats and bums, you know. You say, look, son, your name requires more. Amen. When I found out what my name means, boy, that upped my game a little bit. Yeah. Leroy and Michael, I looked them up. One of them, Michael and Leroy, king-like, strong leader. I said, look at here. I hated Leroy for a long time. I hated that name till I looked up what it means. I said, yes, sir, that's me. My mom and them knew something. They might have been guessing, but they guessed right that time. Your name means something. Look up your name. All y'all, look up your name, see what it means. You'd be amazed. If you don't like it, change it. Go down to the Bureau of Records, Vital Statistics, and say, I need to change my name. If your name means lunch meat or something, you know, change that. You don't want that name. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, your children are standing all over this room. Some of them have taken their seats. But here's what we're going to ask you, God, in just one simple request. Use us. Because our next is right now. We heard Paul say to the church at Philippi, which is also a message to us, that you have begun something in us and that you're going to carry it to the day of completion. God, it ain't over till you come. And because we don't know how much time we have, we've got to get going. We've got to get busy. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, look at all your children all over this room. Let their necks start right now. Don't let any one of them leave today with a sense of emptiness or sense of inadequacy, incompetence, impotency. All of those are gone. We rebuke those in the name of Jesus. We rebuke fear. We rebuke procrastination, hesitancy, uncertainty, lack of confidence. All of those are garbage. What we announce to the world is, I can do all things through Christ. And I'm not going to try it anymore without him. I can't take one step without you holding my hand. So God, I pray for all of these that your will be done. Oh God, empower them. The eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard. These are yours. They are vessels ready to be used. And not only, Lord, for them, but for their spouse, their sons, their daughters, their friends. For Lord, every place we plant our feet, you have blessed. And God, we know that your word is true. For you're not a man that you should lie. We receive your word today that there is a great work, and it is in me. So God, we summarize by simply repeating the verse that says, greater is he that is in me. He that is in the world. You are an awesome God, which makes us an awesome people. We receive it, and it is so. Please, God, forgive us of our sins and have mercy in Jesus' name. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Encourage two or three of your neighbors and tell them, you got it.